worship him. For those who are older generations, I'm sure you have heard of this man whose name is Liu Minghe. He has been a drug addict when he was very young. In order to satisfy his addiction, he resorted to stealing from his family. His parent tries all means to convince him to kick the habit. Even his mother begged him not to continue like that, begged him to stop doing that. His mom felt so helpless that she begged him to stop being a drug addict. As you can see, his parents spent so much time trying to convince him that it is bad and he need to come back, he need to get rid of that bad habit. Well, later on, praise the Lord for his healing. Not only Liu Minghe rehabilitated from that drug abuse, later on he even became a pastor, and his mission and his ministry was to go out to help a lot of other drug addicts. And in the name of Jesus Christ, he led a lot of drug abusers to meet our Lord Jesus. Now today, we are all well aware that thousands of Christians around the world are reaching out to call people to repentance. Because we are called to reach out to help others. This is God's given responsibility that we must obey with diligence. That is the most important commandment from the Lord for every single Christian. So as children of God, we must be responsible. We must become responsible children of God to go forth and share the gospel. And the title of today's sermon is, Come, Let Us Return to God. Let us return to God. Therefore, let us continue to look at Hosea chapter 6, verse 1. I'll start with word. It begins, Come, let us return to the Lord. Even though he has torn us, he will heal us. Even though he has wounded us, he will blind our wounds. Right from the beginning, God called, Come. Come and let us return to the Lord. So Hosea the prophet was urgently calling on the Israelites to repentance and come back, return back to their God. Because repentance is the only way for them to avoid God's judgment. That there's no other way except repentance. They must come with a contrite heart to ask God for his forgiveness. Then Isaiah said, even though he has wounded us, he will bind our wounds. So even though God has wounded us, yet he will bind our wounds. Here, the prophet is trying to explain to his people. He is using a symbolic language to express the severity of God's judgment. He likened it to being torn apart by a ferocious lion. But if the Israelites are willing to repent, God will heal them. He will bind their wounds. God is there ready to help them. Now here the author is using parallelism to emphasize the absolute sovereignty of God. Here, once again, the prophet Hosea is emphasizing on the absoluteness of God, the sovereignty of God. This theological concept is taken from Deuteronomy 32, verse 39, which says, this book was written by Moses, the five books, the Pentateuch of the Bible. And Moses was the author, and here is what he says. Look, I am, and there is no other God besides me. Only me. I myself cause death and I sustain life. I wound severely and I also heal. From my power, no one can deliver. Look at that. Wow. So this verse fully expresses God's sovereignty is in display. Not only is God the creator of the universe and everything, He has authority over life and death. Now, unfortunately, a lot of people, we are stubborn and we fail to recognize His sovereignty. We fail to recognize that we are His created beings. He created us out of the earth, and therefore one day we will return to earth. So from His very words in Deuteronomy, we can see the one and only true God. His authority is in creating the entire universe and every single living being in this world. Therefore, He has authority over life and death. Now the purpose is to let mankind realize He is the one and only true God. That was His purpose, that He deserves all the honor, praises, and acknowledgement from His created beings. Furthermore, we also understand God's healing means forgiveness. Main theme of the entire book of Hosea. We must acknowledge God. That is the main theme of this book. The other things are just idols. God is the only one true God. The rest of those so-called gods are merely created by man. Those are idols. This is the most important lesson we learn from this book. May God help us to understand, to grasp this important lesson. Because God is one who is creator of everything, therefore He deserves all the honor, praises, and our acknowledgement. Praise the Lord. And at the same time, we must also understand that God's healing means God's forgiveness. His threefold healing will take care of three aspects of our lives: physical, the emotional, and the spiritual aspects. And at the same time, His grace will extend healing even toward the land and the cities. Are you telling me that the cities will feel sick? No. Well, you may beg to differ from my opinion, but it's okay. Well, look at the cities of New York, San Francisco. They have a lot of sickness in cities. They abuse their freedom and look at the results in all those big cities. A lot of sins is happening in those cities. Of course, every city needs God's healing. You know why? Because everything, the main is the human beings live in those cities. So every city has many people and therefore they needed the healing power of God and help of God. Let's take a look at Jeremiah 33, verse 6. It's how he describes the city. Verse 6 says, 33, 6. Look, I will bring restoration and healing to it, and I will heal them. I will reveal to them an abundance of peace and faithfulness. Can you see that? Now here, the author was saying in a short period of time, there's a hope there. He said, look, I will save Israel. God is going to save, to heal all the cities. And he says, I will restore and heal the people in the city. God says he will heal them. So, there are no cities in the world that does not need healing of God. Wherever there are human beings, there is the need for healing. Praise the Lord. During this COVID-19 pandemic, a lot of Christians begin to pray for the people in all the world. And we can see it's happening. Yeah, our prayer is going to affect a lot of places in the world. Praise the Lord for that. So let's continue to look at chapter 6, verse 2 of the book of Hosea. After 2 days, he will restore us to life. And on the third day, he will raise us up, and we will live in his presence. Isn't that great news? Especially during time of Hosea. So he says, he predicts that in the next 2 days, it means a very short period of time for suffering, God will return and heal them. And take a look at verse 3. And let us know, let us pursue knowledge of the Lord. So here he stressed the importance of the relationship with God. So let's reflect on our personal relationship with our God. May the Lord guide each one of us from the depth of our heart that we spend time during our devotion so that we will frequently meditate on His Word and live it out in our life. Spend time together with our Lord. Enjoy that wonderful time of devotion with Him. It will be such a wonderful time for each one of us. In fact, there are a lot of questions that we have in our house, in our mind, will be answered as we spend time communicating with our Lord God. And God will reveal answers to our issues and problems. The psalmist said this in chapter 1, verse 2. But he delights in the Lord's instruction and meditates in his instruction day and night. Look at the first word. But he delights, the word here is delights. Delights in what? In the Lord's instruction. So when we delight Lord's instruction, when we delight in approaching Him and getting closer to Him. So when we read God's Word, sometimes we have that feeling too. If we must make the move, we must approach God, love God. So that as we approach God and we are approaching the Lord our God, we will delight in Him. In the first thing that you wake up in the morning, you think about the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Now that the weather is getting better, I'm happy. No, in the winter, I'm so fearful. It's cold outdoor and the roads are slippery. Sometimes I fear and I don't want to go out. But now as the weather gets better, I wake up early in the morning. The sun rises from the east. The whole day is up there. I go out and take my morning walk. I will walk around my neighborhood. I praise the Lord every moment that I spend outdoors. If you are someone who really, if you are thirst and hunger for the Word of God, you will delight in the Lord's instruction. And you will meditate in His instruction day and night. So whoever meditates and do the Word, do the instruction of the Lord, that person will certainly be blessed. Some more. There's one thing, very important thing, important spiritual lesson in this world. We are all living in this very world that is between evil and good. I will give you an example of the existence of evil in our world. Recently, there's a short film from Hong Kong called Sonic Jail. Now, in this movie, right from the beginning, a prisoner was locked up in a tiny cell, yet his attitude was that of indifference. Next, the cameraman utilized a technique called vertical overshot to draw the audience into the prison cell from above. So when we continued to watch the movie, inside a very limited space, there was a chair, a small wash cabin, and a pit latrine. I didn't even see a bed in the tiny cell. So while the prisoner was looking up and down, suddenly a voice welcomed him in his sonic jail. Welcome to this sonic jail. This is one of a kind prison cell managed by artificial intelligence, said the voice. He was assigned the number 320, and he will be incarcerated in that cell for 365 days. So he vehemently disagreed, saying, "Hey, I have a name. Call me by my name." Immediately, the voice replied him, saying, "You are demerited 10 points for being rude. If you reach 30 points, you will spend an extra week here." So the prisoner hesitated for a moment. Gradually, he realized the severity of this sonic cell. That voice represented the prison warden. Under no circumstances must he question his order. When he was slow brushing his teeth or too slow eating his meal, points were deducted. When he swore in profanity, points were deducted. Man, that's not easy to take. Finally, the prison couldn't take it anymore. So he shouted at the top of his voice, "I have my right. You cannot do it to me. I have my human rights." Too bad. He was nothing but a number. There is nothing he could do. Silence. The AI's voice did not even reply to him. Then there was a voice, sounded like from someone else, another prison, fellow prisoner. He said, "You are nothing. You're just but a number." Well, then he had an idea. So he pretended to be sick and bedridden. So he said, "Oh, I'm painful here, I'm sick there." And so twist and toss. Then the voice said to him, "Our high-tech sensor detected your BP at 140. Your pulse is 76, and your body temperature is very normal. Therefore, there is nothing wrong with you. Stop pretending. Because of your pretense, 100 points will be deducted. Therefore, you will be incarcerated for 2 more years. Oh, the prison was filled with anger. He's about to explode. So he kicked the chair over. He was like beating his fist. But he's to no avail. So very soon, he heard a voice from a co-prisoner from a different room. And the voice tell him, "Hey, 322, forget about it, man. The three prisoners before you have all committed suicide." At the end of the movie, it's a very short movie. The prison used a broken piece of the face to cut its own ears. This short movie is just one actor playing throughout the entire movie. It's the monologue. It shows the loneliness of a person in a room. This movie called Sonic Jail is quite a black movie, but it does demonstrate the existence real. Merely an artificially generated voice can collapse the person. It also reveals some very complex issues. Computer-generated voice can force a person to give up on his life. Isn't that scary? But behind this movie, it does reveal a lot of issues, human issues that are complex and complicated. From the study of the society and everything, he's trying to show us a lot of issues are visible behind this movie. We are living in the midst of a struggle between good and evil. Right from the beginning, human beings always live between good and evil, where light and darkness are in a constant dwell. No matter how you look at it, may the Lord help us. No matter from what angle you are looking at the situation, ultimately it points to the corruption of humanity as the root of the problem. Sometimes we place the blame on the devil and temptations. That's the easy way to go, right? We blame the devil. Is it really the case? Actually, could it have been that we ourselves allow our own self to be tempted by the devil's temptation? We allow him to come into our life and tempt us. Israelites was an example. They thought that as long as they verbally acknowledged their transgression, God would forgive them. Actually, their attitude towards God was very superficial. That's why God met up harsh judgment upon them, even though it deeply hurts them. Again and again, the Israelites were hurting God while repenting and following idol worship. For that reason, the prophet Hosea tries all his might to try to convince the Israelites to return to God's fold. Yet they refuse to listen. They refuse to repent. They have seen a lot of blessing from God, and yet they refuse to repent and come back to God. Well, I have to agree. Sometimes it is the devil's doing, but sometimes we become irresponsible and put all the blame onto the devil. So once again, I stress what the Israelites were doing was that they only verbally, from their lips, they acknowledge and they say they love God. Yet, deep in the heart, they did not truly repent. They were so superficial in their attitude. For their action, God felt so hurt. Therefore, he has no choice but to punish them with judgment. In this entire episode, we can see God was patiently waited for their return to his fold. He wanted to bless his people abundantly. But why is this so hard? A lesson to learn. Right from the beginning, they have made a promise to God, and God made a promise to them. If God has chosen them, they were the chosen race. So no matter what they did, God still loved them because they are God's children. But I really have a question. Why it is so hard for the Israelites to learn the lesson? The reason is because man is so stubborn. Now there's a Chinese idiom, when loosely translated, means follow my orders or face the music. have to be so stubborn until we are consigned to the grave? Isn't it too sad today? Why? Please have mercy on us, Lord. Well, you may ask me, Pastor, what must we do then, Pastor? First and most foremost of importance, we must worship God with all our heart. Why do I put worship in the first place? Because in the entire book of Hosea, the prophet himself pointed out the Israelites' first mistake was they left the worship of God and went after those idol worship. That was a direct violation of the very first commandment that Moses laid down. So may the Lord help us. Let us place God on the top of our list. In the same way, we must refrain from putting fame and fortune before us. Come to Sunday on worship. We must put God first over everything and above everything. Let us come wholeheartedly to worship God. This is the most important reason for our attendance in the church. Only God is worthy of our honor and of all our praises. Therefore, we must obey His instruction. So we must set aside this Lord's Day so that we come to worship Him and spend time with Him, that we can worship the Almighty God. May the Lord help us. Of course, you must understand that fame and fortune are things that have limited value. One day, they will be bygone. Only worshiping God, and doing His work, that will be eternally forever. So let us learn to praise God and worship God, and with all our hearts and minds, let us come before Jesus, who is the perfecter of more mercies and grace, to render all our praises to our worship Him. At the same time, we should learn to love one another. There's two main points. Come worship and praise God in church. And number two, we must humbly serve God and minister to others. We must learn to care for one another. Those who need prayer, we will prayerfully support them. So that when we do that, we will care for those in need, help others who are facing difficulties. Furthermore, each and every person, God has given each one of us a gift. Each one of us have a special gift from God Himself so that we can use that gift to minister to others. When the pandemic is over, you must use the God-given gift to serve Him and to minister to others. Well, there are those who have not come to worship and play the piano to worship God. Well, after more than a year, maybe they will not be able to play the piano so swiftly. But yet, that is a God that is given to you. Use that to continue to worship God, using your music to worship Him. Truly, I must say it again. I never even thought about it. I'm of such advanced age. How? I've never thought about it. But I enjoy it. And especially when I am working together, serving together with a teamwork, it's not just, I'm not gifted in singing, that I know, but I'm gifted in the pulpit ministry of preaching. But I want you to understand, after the entire year of laying back out of the life, let us come back, let us encourage one another. Use the gift from heaven. Use it and to serve God and to serve the people. When you do that, when you join meetings, you join several meetings, and you join with a team to go and serve God, you will see the meaning of ministry. Because what you are doing is worthwhile. Not only that, God will also see your work. Brothers and sisters, today I'm 71. Right from the tip of my mind, I just want to tell you, do not hide the gift that God has given you. So may the Lord help us again. Let us work together as a team. Let us join hands with all the gifts that God has given us so that we can not only encourage one another, but we can have an impact on the community that is around us so that we can reach out to more and more people for the Lord. One more, we have to emulate our Lord Jesus Christ as that we may serve a lot more people. The lifestyle of a Christian is to glorify God and benefit others. So that means our life is to glorify God and at the same time to benefit other people. In Matthew 20, verse 28, Jesus said, just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve. Jesus himself set a good example by washing the feet of his 12 disciples. Look, he was God's Son, and yet he came and became man. And one by one, he knelt down and washed his disciples' feet. The lesson is for us to serve others with humility. The attitude is very important. If you really want to emulate Jesus Christ, it is true that when we say our life will impact the life of others, so a humble attitude will attract the attention of people to come before the Lord. Then we will be able to help them know more about Jesus Christ. And at the right timing and the right opportunity, we will share the gospel with them and encourage them to accept this grace from above, because we are telling him we are about this one and only true God from above. And this is the God that allowed his own son Jesus to die on the cross so that he can save humanity. Brothers and sisters, my sermon today is titled, Come, Let Us Return to God. Therefore, first let us hunger and thirst after him. Let us come on our knees and pray. Let us obey his commands. Yeah, whether you have something or even there's nothing serious happening in your life, we must learn to come and hunger and thirst after his word. So may God help us to obey whatever command that is found in the Bible. May the Lord teach us to encourage one another. There are two important points today. Number one, come worship and praise God in the church. Number two, humbly serve God and minister to others. May God help us to encourage one another, and I'm sure God will bless us, our church, abundantly. In the past year, we see a lot of newcomers coming to our church, even during the past year. Our church is in a very good, very healthy condition. We have started a few months back, we have started the sanctuary worship. And of course, at the same time, we are through the Zoom meetings and through the YouTube so that we can continue to worship together as a team. Do not let all those obstacles prevent us from worshiping God. I'm sure, according to God's timing, according to his will, according to his wonderful act, he will bless our church and we will see a revival, and God will bless you abundantly. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for your abundant blessings. And Lord, thank you for putting before us chapter 6 of the book of Hosea. Then it reminded us that above everything, we must worship you. because you see through our hearts. Lord, may you revive our church. Strengthen our faith, our love, and our hope. We would like to render all honor and praise unto you. And pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
弟兄姐妹早。
我感觉很高兴，因为今天早上能够与众弟兄姐妹面见面，好久没见了。当然，我也看见有些新的面孔。谢谢大家，在网上上线来上这个聚会。现在让我来向大家报告一下我们拼木委员会的过去所做的一些。也许大家也知道，我们过去的那个年轻的那个传道人，他去年二月份就离开我们教会去了波士顿。所以那个时候教会的理事会就要我们尽快的找一位年轻的传道人来代替这个 Taylor。 所以我们聘牧委员会在3月1号就开始我们的寻找。当我们还没找到人之前，那个扎弟兄的儿子，还有 Adam Klofeld 这两位年轻人就在教会里面协助我们年轻人的聚会。所以如果大家记得的话，选四月份到今年的上个月的话 ，Adam 弟兄就成为我们part time 的那个年轻传道人。很可惜他 Adam 弟兄呢在3月份就要离开我们，也感谢主那个扎弟兄就同意回来继续的帮助我们。以上就是教会交给我们要聘牧的时候的条件。他必须要有从神而来的护照，他必须要在个人生命里面的对向主有忠心。他必须要能与年轻人一起合得来。那你也不是说你还年轻，你年轻的心态你就可以必须要有个很良好的那个沟通的技巧。当然也必须要有个很往前看的一种心态，必须要有一个很活泼的生命，当然我们也盼望我们将来所找到的年轻的传道人也必须要有点经验，很好的背景。所以我们尽我们的能力能够找到一位是合乎以上一切的要求。这个是我们教会的意向。这个传道人必须要与我们同时同工的来发展在教会里面那个年轻人的施工。 就我们能够在教会里面有一个很活泼的那个家庭的聚会。就当然就包括一个，很活泼的那个主日年轻人主日崇拜，也支持那个年轻人在他们这个敬拜当中能够多参与。跟着他的那个参与时候，能够也带动所有的年轻人一起同时一起的参与这个教会的每个礼拜的这个聚会。啊，我们只是很简单，就找一位全职的那个年轻人传道人。我们的那个评估委员会总共有4位，就是我自己 Matthew， Troy 弟兄、Edward 弟兄，还有行动弟兄。本来 Tony Tony 弟兄也是我们的当中的一位，但是因为他要移居到大的城市，他现在都不跟我们一起了。当别人搬家的时候，我们一般都希望盼望他会找到一份更好的工作。OK， 如果你看见我们第一回的时候，这肯定是既然有第一回，当然就会有第二回。啊，在第一回的寻找的时候，我们总共有8位申请，有一个是就是来查询而已，就意思是说他没有申请。那么委员会就拒绝了3位的申请，其中有一位他完全都没有回复我们，意思我们总共有4次的机会与4位透过这个线上的跟他们面试。因为这个疫情的缘故，我们在去年10月份我们就没办法，也就要暂停这个寻墓的事情。那么在4月8号的时候，我们就重新启动我们这个寻求传道人的那个施工。那么我们就回去再次的联络，那有4位我们以前跟他们有联络的传道人。那我们不只是我们，别的教会也是不停的在寻找。当中的2位已经在别的教会找到他们的侍奉的方向。有一位因为个人的原因，他就把他的申请书都拿回。现在我们只有1位传道人的申请书。 上个月我们就五月份我们就邀请这位年轻的传道人的与我们教会的年轻人有一个线上的那个聚会。啊，那很抱歉，就是我们的聘务委员会在最后就决定，将不会把这位申请的传道人建议给教会的领袖们。所以那如果你看到你计算的话，就开始是有八位，那就到四位，那现在就剩下一位。但是我们盼望神的旨意与我们同在。当然我们可以回顾，也许你会说啊，如果不是那疫情的缘故的话，也许我们当中可能会找到一位。在这边的考虑的思想是这没用的。我们又继续往前，参加我们的第二的回合。诗篇155:18的时候，这里神的仆人诗人说到，神是与我们很亲近我们。我相信我们会尽快的找到一位合乎神心意来建议给教会。所以我们需要你我们最需要就是你们的祷告，在祷告里面来支持我们，请你们继续不停的来为我们祷告，为教会祷告，为教会的领袖们来代祷，同时也为那些将要申请的年轻传道人来代祷。If you have any questions, you feel free to如果你有任何的问题，散会之后你可以问我 Troy 或者是梁国成弟兄，或者是新勇弟兄。谢谢大家，感谢主，谢谢。We thank you, the members of the committee, members of the Pastoral Search Committee. And I'm sure God will prepare a suitable candidate for our youth. Before our offering collection, I would like to introduce some of the new faces to our church. There's a Sister Wang among us. Please introduce yourself. Let's bow and pray together. thank you. We thank you for your abundant provision, that we have lack in nothing. Lord, what you have provided is above and beyond what we have asked for. And we know that whatever we have is within what you have promised us. From you, we have received the living water, that we will never thirst again, that we will never hunger again. Therefore, today we happily offer up our offerings. May you bless it. And please, Lord, you will also encourage each and every one of us to serve you in our personal capacity. And we will be filled with your love as we serve you. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Special thanks for all the members of the Pastoral Search Committee for their effortless time spent in searching for a youth pastor for us. Please continue to pray for them. I like this ASAP acronym. May the Lord bless our church so that we become a praying church. If you have found this morning's sermon to be very helpful, you can use it as a topic of discussion during your cell group meetings. And please arise and receive the benediction. Please be seated.